Good morning, everyone. We've got just a PowerPoint there, Lauren, if that's all right. So this is our final week of looking at our series, Hope in the Dark. And we've been journeying through the book of Habakkuk, which was written, Habakkuk was a minor prophet around 600 BC. So to do your maths, that's roughly 2,600 years ago. And he's speaking to God on behalf of the people. If you're across it, what happened was the Israelite nation had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Pretty much everything that they held dear to their faith and to their nation was falling apart. And so Habakkuk's crying out. And in chapter 1, there's this crisis of belief. It's like wondering, what's going on, God? Why is all this bad stuff happening? And then last week we looked at the fact that though this stuff's happening, we need to stop and wait to see what God is doing. Today's theme we're looking at is embracing God in the valley. And at the end of chapter 2, there's this... We'll have the next pictures first, I think, Lauren. We'll have the pictures first. What does it mean to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is from Psalm 23? Maybe you've had days where you feel like that bird, or maybe you have days where you feel like that cat, or maybe you have days where you feel like that chicken. That's a chicken that's very gutsy. But we have days, don't we, where we feel as though everything's against us. We feel like a chicken walking into a KFC or a cat walking through a pack of dogs. But as we go into chapter 3, the tone changes. And we've got this verse at the end of chapter 2 which says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him." So we've had this questioning, Habakkuk questioning God, God replying, and then it's like, okay, God is in his temple, God is on the throne, let's be silent before him. And then as we go into chapter 3, it's almost like there's this reset. Moving from a point of confusion to trusting, or from unsettledness to embracing. And so if you read chapter 3, verse 1, in many translations it will say, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth." Now, some translations just leave that word out. Others will just put the word in. They don't actually translate it because it's not exactly sure. And the only other sort of part in the Bible that this word appears is in Psalm 7, which is Shijin. It's the singular of this, which is the plural. So what does this word mean? A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Shigionoth. You try saying it. Well, we know it's a musical term. Now, if you've ever played music, you know you'll see things that will say, you know, it might say Adante or Allegro or something like that. We'll give you an idea of how to play. You know, Allegro is nice and bright and punchy. Adante is a little bit more of just a bit more alliterative. There might be, what's the real slow one? I can't remember now. I've just gone blank. Largo, yes. Nice and slow and calm. Well, what would Shigionoth mean? Well, it's a term that means to be sung along with real emotion, with real exuberance, with real passion, with real exuberance. Something that's, it's not singing from the head or from the throat, but it's singing from depth, deep within the soul. It's not a whiny, crying your beer ballad, but rather it's praise punctuated by exclamation marks. And it's a real passion. There's a real passionate praise that comes through this chapter. But it's praise not because of what God's done. It's praise for what God is going to do. It's praise before God has provided. If you've ever gone through a real tough day and you can't find the words, and you just, you know, when your heart and your soul just is crying out in agony almost, that's the sort of essence that this word is trying to capture. This isn't praise for what's happened. This is the praise for who God is. And then in verse 2, it begins with, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. There's a song from Elevation Worship that we're going to have shortly, and it's called Do It Again. And one of the verses in that says this, I've seen you move, come move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. God, I've seen your work. God, I know your power. God, do it again. This is the sort of where this prayer begins. Everything seems to be falling apart. And so Habakkuk starts to look back to the great things that God has done in the past. So what should we do when we're in the valley? Well, the first thing we need to do is to remember the goodness of God, to remember what he's done in the past for us, and to know that he won't leave us or abandon us or forsake us, that he will always be there for us. In verse 3, it says, God came from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. Now, Taman and Paran were two places that God took his people for refuge after he delivered them from the Egyptian bondage. They were places of freedom, places of refuge. If you remember back to that story, the Israelites had been led by Moses out of Egypt, and then the Egyptians chased them down. And they thought they were trapped. They thought there was no way out. They thought they were doomed. And then God provided a way by parting the Red Sea, and through they went, and then he let the sea close in on them. Habakkuk's pointing back to those occurrences. And if you read right through the whole Exodus story, there's time after time after time where God did amazing things for the Israelite people. And Habakkuk's saying, remember what God has done. His splendor, verse 4, was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. And on Habakkuk goes, remembering the power of God, remembering the goodness of God. And he could have called on so many things, such as the manna, the bread from heaven, the food that God provided for them with the ravens, the water he provided from the rock, the fire from heaven. Throughout the history of the Israelites, he caused the sun to stand still. He shut the mouth of lions. He was present with his children in the fire. He raised the dead. He put life into bones. And I'm sure you can think of more and more occurrences where God's power was displayed. And even if you look back through your own life, you can start to see glimpses of where God has done things for you. The miracles of God. We often pray for miracles, and then when they happen, we go, what a coincidence. I think I shared it before, but I once heard someone say that coincidences are God's miracles done anonymously. God's miracles done anonymously. God has done it before, and God can do it again. And that's the prayer we need to pray when we're in the valley, when things are crashing in on around us. We need to pray, God, I know you've done it before, and I know you can do it again. So we need to remember how powerful, how almighty, how good God is. But then we can sometimes go one of two ways when it comes to dealing with the bad stuff that's happening in our life. And often we fall into the trap of then trying to endure the hardship, to endure the pain. We think, okay, we remember what God's done, and then we just have to endure it, like grit our teeth and go, oh, I'm going to get through this. You know, if you've been to the dentist, then you just got to get through this. Or through sitting through a boring sermon, I've just got to get through this. Maybe it's only 10 more minutes to go. We've all been there. I often say to people that I became a minister so that I didn't have to let anyone else bore me. I could bore everyone else. But we don't have to endure. Enduring's coming at it from the wrong mindset. Rather, what we should do is embrace the valley, to embrace what we're going through. Now, to Habakkuk, it felt like the enemies, the Babylonians, were winning. They'd come in, they'd desecrated the temple, they'd taken the Israelites out of their homeland, they'd taken them into captivity. Everything was falling apart. But God was still on the throne. God has always been good and God has always been faithful. You see, to embrace the valley isn't a state of denial. Sometimes that's a danger we can fall into, is going, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Nothing bad's happening. Just try to ignore it. Stick your head in the sand. That's not helpful either. Rather, embracing means to look truth in the face and to say, I still trust in my God. Verse 16 says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. You start to capture a bit of the emotion here. Lips quivering, decay creeping into the bones, legs trembling. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. How powerful's that? How powerful's that? Even though everything's going wrong, and Habakkuk knew things were going to get worse before they get better. The Babylonian taking over of Israel was brutal. Many were going to die. Many had died. Children were going to suffer. There was going to be bloodshed. Everything was falling apart, and yet Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Habakkuk had dozens of reasons not to rejoice. Dozens of reasons. But he said, I still trust in the Lord. How many people here know what their name means? A few people. See, Andrew means manly. You know. I think my mother chose very well. But what does Habakkuk mean? Well, the name Habakkuk means to embrace. It means to embrace. Just hit the one button. Yeah. It means to embrace. Ooh, we'll bring it up now. You spoiled the surprise. A wrestler. It means, so it's not an embracing as in, oh, isn't it lovely to see you? It's an embrace as in how a wrestler embraces another wrestler. You know, this struggle to get through a scenario. He that embraces a wrestler. And this is really what the whole book of Habakkuk is about, is wrestling with God during the valley experiences, knowing that God is in control and that God is enough. Remember what we talked about, that Shigjinoth. You know, this isn't a half-hearted song to God. It's a song that comes from the depths of our soul. It means it's a faith that worships even when everything else feels wrong. It's a faith that believes when it doesn't see. It's a cry from my heart declaring praise for my God. It means praising God even in the midst of your pain. Too often we can fall into the trap of thinking that if we just follow God, everything will be good. And then when something goes wrong, we can throw our hands up in the air and go, oh, see, I knew God was all a waste of time. Well, see, that's not what faith's about. That's not what faith is. Faith means trusting and believing when everything else says the opposite. Faith means trusting and believing when everything else says the opposite. And it's clear, faith really expresses itself in its fullness when everything else is falling apart and all we've got left to hang on to is God Himself. You see, if we're hanging on to more than just God, we're not having to have full faith in God. We're putting our trust in multiple things. But when everything else falls away and the only thing we've got left is God, that's true faith. Shigjianoth, praise before the provision, praise with exclamation marks. A song from our songbook says this: I shall not fear, though darkened clouds may gather round me. The God I serve is one who cares and understands. Although the storms I face would threaten to confound me, would threaten to overwhelm me, would threaten to destroy me, of this I am assured, I'm in his hands. I'm in his hands. Whatever the future holds, I'm in his hands. The days I cannot see have all been planned for me. His way is best, you see. I'm in his hands. That's what faith's about. It's faith saying, I'm letting go and placing myself completely in God's hands. I'm going to completely trust him. Even though I can't know the way that lies before me, but I still can trust and freely follow his commands. My faith is firm, since it is he that watches over me. Of this I'm confident. I'm in his hands. And in days gone by, my Lord has always proved sufficient when I have yielded to the law of love's demands. Why should I doubt that he would evermore be present to make my will his own? I'm in his hands. When you're going through those really tough times, I find it sometimes helpful just to picture God holding you in his hands and knowing that he has you, that he's got you, that no matter what everyone else is throwing at you, God is for you. It doesn't mean we resolve to make the best of a bad situation. It's way deeper than that. Verse 19 of Habakkuk says this: the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Have you ever seen those videos or pictures of a deer that's just trampling up the mountains? And they just make it look so easy. And yet, they could fall to their death just like that. It's a bit what faith's like. It's a bit what it's like going through the valley. It's in our weakness that God is strong. He is our strength. When we trust in him, we don't need to be strong because we can't do it on our own. Our strength's not enough. But God is strong enough. It's great to enjoy God on the mountaintops when we have those great experiences. But the reality is, it's in the valleys is where we learn to trust God. It's in the valleys that we learn to trust God. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I've often thought, well, why do we have to go through this earth to get to heaven? Why do we have to go through all the pain and suffering of this earth before heaven? Why couldn't God just skip this part, you know? Skip chapter one, God, and take us to the next chapter. That'd be good, wouldn't it? But I think we have the privilege of this earth because it's in the suffering that we experience on this earth that we fully get to trust God. If we were just straight to heaven and nothing bad ever happened, we would never really appreciate it, would we? We wouldn't appreciate God. We wouldn't appreciate the glory and the gift of heaven. It'd just be, oh, it's just normal. It's just normal. Why do we enjoy nice sunny days? Because we know what it's like on a stormy day. If it was every day was just nice and warm and sunny, well, we'd have nothing to talk about, would we? But it'd be boring. It'd be like, oh, it's just another day. Just another day. But when we get a nice bit of sun, it's like, ah, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? We need to trust God in the valleys, to embrace him in the valleys, to look face on to the things that are causing us pain and grief, and not to fight them in our own strength, but to trust God with them. What I often try and imagine doing is grabbing, you know, you have to do this in your mind, but sometimes you can it may be a physical thing you can do it with, but imagining whatever it is that's causing you grief or trouble or pain, and you imagine holding it, and you bring it to the cross, you bring it to Jesus, and you place it, and you give it to Jesus, and say, Jesus, I can't carry this on my own, but I know you can, and leave it with him. The secret then is to then leave it there as you move forward in your journey. It doesn't mean, of course, that the pain goes or the struggle goes, but we don't have to carry it. We don't have to carry it on our own. Jesus will carry it for us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can bring our struggles to you, that when we are in those valleys, Lord, you are there with us, wanting to carry us, wanting to lift us, wanting to take us through. Lord, help us to trust you in the valley. Help us to not turn our back on you when we need you most. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here today that is going through a valley or two, right now, Lord, just let them know in their hearts that you love them. Just let your power flow through them, your love flow through them, your peace flow through them. And Lord, if any are offering to you their pain today, if they're placing it at the cross, Lord, receive it and carry it for them. And even though things may get worse and the battle might get harder, we will trust in you. As this song plays, you may want to come and pray. You may want to come and kneel somewhere at the front here and place your struggle at the foot of Jesus. You see, hope begins in the dark. The stubborn hope that if you just show up and try to do the right thing, the dawn will come. You wait and watch and work, you don't give up. The dawn will come. Bring your struggle to the cross, and the dawn will come.